Hello and welcome back to the Expansion Room. I'm Siobhan Larice, your host, and we have been talking about holistic mental health approaches for probably the last six episodes or so. And today I am joined by Dr. Tom Ingenio, and we are going to be talking about acupuncture, which is one of my favorite things, but I am not the expert. So I'm so glad that he is here to share his wisdom and knowledge with us about this topic, and especially how it relates back to mental health and well-being, and the overall ways that we can take care of ourselves. So, Tom, welcome.
Siobhan, it's so great to talk with you again. I always have a great time when I see you. You're always smiling. You make me feel happier, and I'm just so happy to be here right now.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm glad to have you. Tom is a doctor of acupuncture and Chinese medicine, correct? All right. And you've written more than one book.
two books, two books. The first is, to be honest, Siobhan, was I wrote it because somebody said I was going to get interviewed for a national press release in print. It was going to be a big thing.
Nice.
And I was getting real excited. And they said, well, where have you been published? So I listed, the Journal of North American Journal of Oriental Medicine. I listed, and then they go, no, what book do you have? And I said, what? And they said, oh, we can't use you then.
What?
So my first book was, I believe in poker they call it limping in. I did the bare minimum to kind of get something out. It's called You Got Sick, Now What? And it was seven home care tips if you got the cold and flu. Now it did require some pre-planning before you got sick. And then somebody said, oh, if you do a rewrite, an Oriental medicine publishing company was going to, publish it for me. And I said, I don't rewrite this. So then I wrote my second book, which I think a lot of us did during COVID when we were it closed up,
Right.
called The Cupping Book. And then it took me to 2024 to actually get it out the door to people.
There we go. Okay. And that one is the one that you put your energy
I actually
into.
promoted that one. I actually am proud of that one. And I think it leads a little into I've been practicing for 25 years, and now there's this kind of like, what can I do to impact more people? The ones that can't get into my office, the ones that are nowhere near me, and maybe the ones that don't have the ways and means to come in, right? So how can you
Exactly.
do the most for a community? Well, you give knowledge, and it doesn't matter your cultural heritage, where you're from on the globe. There
Right.
was this native to all of us kind of medicine that we were all doing, and cupping therapy had spread so far across the globe so early on in history that you'll see, goat herders in Nairobi doing it. You'll see fishermen in Vietnam doing it. You'll see Russians doing it. So it kind of went all over the globe, and it fit this bill where it has modern research. It can be safely done at home with modern tools, and it's part and parcel of the human experience, right? And that's what I really loved. And can I hand this back to, it was affectionately called grandma's medicine by a lot of people. So can I hand this
That's
back to the households,
beautiful.
right? And I'm very passionate about that because I think we're living in this amazing time. And then you play something where they're quoting Neil deGrasse Tyson and Carl Sagan, and I'm like, oh my God, all these consciousness kind of things, not even talking about space, right? But there is this kind of return to the classics a little bit. And what did we leave behind as we became more modern? I feel like I'm just going though. So but there's so much in our history that I think has some value and value to humanity now. And that's what's
Absolutely.
really getting me going these days.
I think I very much agree with you there. Some of the things that we've talked about in these last 6 weeks have been those kinds of things. Like, what are we not doing that humans have done for time immemorial, right? Like one of my episodes was literally about sunshine, like getting out into the sun on a daily basis because of what it does for our circadian rhythm, our sleep, our mental health, emotional well-being, all of that. But it's free. Like you just go out there and do it.
I think I've said this on my podcast, at least both Matt said it more than once. Things that really work are not going to be the things that become New York Times bestsellers, right? You know,
Absolutely.
it's like, you know, eat.
Yep.
Level trainer, you know, get good.
There you go.
But it's not sexy enough to sell a book.
This is fair. But we can talk about it in podcasts.
Yeah, we
Tell me
definitely
what the
can.
name of your podcast, because I was on your podcast
Yes.
and I have been on many a podcast as a guest. I have never laughed so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I mean, we don't pride ourselves on the humor, but yeah, you know, I think we can dress everything up. We can talk about it at a scholarly level. And we can have these conversations that are a little bit more interactive, a little bit more personal, and relate as if just a group of friends are sitting around and talking about the subject, right? We don't need to pull out a white paper on something and quote the
Your
latest JAMA article. But
whiteboard.
here's something that we have on, and time again, regardless of the topic, when we have a guest on, it's like we're all just sitting down and you know, at a coffee shop having a chat, you know, or a bar if you want to go there too. I don't, you know, either
And
way.
still talking about good stuff. Irreverent health. I like that. All right. So can you share a little bit about what brought you to acupuncture as a career path?
I love telling this story because to be honest, part of it I blocked out when I was younger. So my grandfather was a pharmacist, and my junior into my senior year of high school, he had a massive heart attack. He died in the pharmacy, which I found out later he had always said he wanted to die with his lab coat on, and he got his wish. So I think he won. But one day when I was helping him out in high school, and I didn't remember this until years later, he was counting out the pills. This is back before the machines, right? So he has it on this little plastic thing where you slide some into the thing as you're counting them, pour them into the patient's bottle, and then pour the rest back into the master container. And he looks at me, and he was working in an area. His pharmacy was in an area that had a large Latino population. He actually learned Spanish so he could speak to them. And he said, you know, this guy's a day laborer. He's got to buy, you know, he's got to take three of these pills every day. He doesn't have insurance. This is $5 a pill. And he's doing that for the rest of his life. And this is back in like 90, 90, 92, 93, maybe, that he said this to me. And he goes, that's a lot of money. There's got to be a better way. You got to look for it. And after his heart attack, I blocked that out. When I was in college, I had this course of events. I was pre-med. You know, you're told you're smart, you got to be a doctor, right? So either I'm not that smart, or really just didn't want to do it. Because I met I had a physician that was a teacher of mine, and he told me that he passed out the first time they put a heart in his hand, a human heart. And I went, you know, I like the stuff on the inside of the body to stay on the inside of the body. And while I was thinking about all this, I took a Tai Chi like after school class. There was a Chinese philosophy class, and that was kind of the first thing. Then my financial aid package changed. So I transferred to another school. And they were like, oh, this is great. There's a DO program. You can streamline from the undergrad right into the doctor of osteopathic. Great, you'll be a doctor. No one knows the difference. And in that junior year intercession for Christmas, I got a postcard in the mail from an acupuncture school. And I'd been reading a lot about Taoism. So I went to the open house that this postcard was promoting, and I came home with the application, and I was enrolled 2 weeks later. So I was doing my first semester of my master's program while still finishing up my second semester of my junior year. The master's program gave a bachelor's in professional health science as well. You don't need more than one bachelor's. And come on, let's face it, most people aren't even using their damn bachelor's anyway. After I convinced my parents that no, this was a real career, and yes, this school is accredited, they let me skip my senior year. I never looked back. It was a joy. I absolutely loved everything I learned. And I was fortunate enough to meet my mentor there, who I don't know what he saw in me, but he believed in me enough to help me make it 25 years.
Awesome. That's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I did not know all of that.
Well, you know, it's a
Yeah.
long story, and most people don't, you know, I mean, I'm here.
And they're not asked, right? I also went to college as pre-med thinking I was going to be a doctor as well. So,
Well, you want to help people, right? And
yeah, that's really it.
if you know only a couple of slots for that,
Yep.
you know, and then I really think that's a shame. You know, we interviewed somebody that you know, told us when he was 55, he moved to Thailand, developed this product that now I'm using every day. And then, you know, when he got some money, he bought 60 acres of rainforest and then set up a primate preserve. And I think my first words were, "Where were you at career day?" No one ever said you could just go off the grid. No one ever said,
That's true. That was
you
not
know,
an option.
you what do you want to do? Yeah, it sounds crazy. Go do it. And you know, by the end of the call, I asked them to be my guru, and now I have a WhatsApp chat with him and Matt, my co-host.
Okay. There we go. That's perfect. I mean, I think nowadays people are starting to realize there are more options than what they've been led to believe. And
Well,
so
the creative right brain process is really starting to see, you know, we can focus on all the bad things, but this kind of coming around, whether it's a psychedelic renaissance, a consciousness renaissance, when this pendulum swings back the other way, I think it's going to be absolutely amazing.
Indeed. Indeed. We will be soon doing an episode on psychedelics.
Mm.
Several. They will be loud.
While you're on psychedelics.
Indeed. All right. So the history behind acupuncture, how far does it go back?
This is where it gets a little sketchy. We China as a unified country, before that, it was a bunch of separate kingdoms, and they had the warring states period and all this.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, a lot of the knowledge that we had when one kingdom invaded another and took over, the thing they did was destroy a lot of the scrolls. You know, a lot of the teachings, right? We can't have that. There's books that reference people that we know were famous physicians. They talk about their books that this other physician wrote. We don't have them.
Wow.
That, and we're looking back conservatively, the textbook that we refer to as, it's called The Yellow Emperor's Internal Classics. It's composed of three volumes. It points to this about 2,700 years ago, give or take 300 or 400 years, as a formalized, here's the final product. But we know those books were written before. We have references to them. So we even have references to something called needle therapy. We have no other words about it, going back 9,000 years.
Wow.
So it's a big gray area. The history is almost like it's coming out of the ethers and seeping into consciousness. Maybe I'm getting too flowery there,
Nope, you can. Go for it.
but you know, the more we piece together, the more things I see translated. Because let's face it, I don't read ancient Chinese, let alone modern Chinese. So I'm really, you know, excited when I see something that gets brought into English. And you have like a team of scholars going, look, this character can mean three different things.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, this one verse, we don't know. But within that, it gives this rich kind of tapestry, and it allows for this human experience in it. And it's still living and breathing today. So it's been evolving this whole time. And when it touches a different culture, it imprints on it, and the medicine gets imprinted on as well. Yeah. So, you know, one of my favorite journals I referenced before is the North American Journal of Oriental Medicine. It's published in Japanese and English. It's specifically for Japanese style acupuncture, but they'll print things in Japan or reprint articles that were in their Japanese journals in English. And then we write stuff and it goes back there, and then it goes worldwide. So we're really seeing this like multidimensional cultural exchange, and it only makes the medicine better, the systems better, right? Because we can all put our little mark on this. But I do have to say this as a straight white male, middle-aged white male, right? Everybody should be listening to me. But within that, there's an expression: when drinking water, remember the source. So how far back can I go? Who gave this to me? Where did they get it from? You know, and it's a long game of telephone. We don't always get it right. But as long as we're honoring the people that came before us, and we're taking their concepts without butchering them, and having a logical reason of using them, and how do we bring these into the modern world? I think that in that element, we can make our medicine better, you know?
Perfect. Perfect. And on that note, we will go to break. I like that. When we come back, we'll talk about more of like that textbook definition of acupuncture.
You got it.
And then its effects on the body. So come on back.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Brancu, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Lurice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Expansion Room, where our topic today is on acupuncture. And my guest, Tom Ingenio, is going to share with us a little bit more about acupuncture and how it plays well with our bodies and mental health. That's what I'll call it, plays well. So a basic definition or working definition that I was able to find that wasn't too lengthy was that acupuncture is a traditional Chinese medicine practice that involves inserting thin needles into specific points, which I know those points are along meridian lines, correct? That help to bring the body back to balance and energy flow, good energy flow. Is that basically accurate?
It is like the basic kind of textbook definition we would give somebody for that quick understanding. I always feel like I have to explain it both in Western terms as well as Eastern terms, right?
Absolutely.
So this idea that we have this energy network that runs through the body. Our cells are alive. We have electromagnetic fields. We have electrical currents through our body. I was on a podcast the other day where we were talking about this research from the 80s that showed that the microtubules inside the cells, they did a study that they put a dye in, and they found that the microtubules along these pathways seem to line up some way to create this energy flow. And then, of course, 2 days before that, talk about serendipity, I was listening to a ASMR video on, it's called The Sleepy Psychiatrist, or Sleepy Physicist, sorry, about consciousness in the quantum field possibly being transmitted along the microtubules in the cells. And I'm like, okay, how did the Chinese know this thousands of years ago?
Exactly.
And I've said that so many times over the years. Now, the classical saying that they use in a famous physician said, you got me when I'm losing English now, was where there's free flow, there is no pain. Where there's pain, there's no free flow, right? So the idea is, and we can say pain, disease, imbalance, whatever word goes in there. The idea classically is that somehow us putting these needles into these specific points or stimulating them with acupressure or moxibustion, which is an herb that we burn on the skin, or massages that are meridian based, and that's everything from shiatsu in Japan to ama or tui na in China, all of these things are about getting that energy to move in the right way. Is it stuck? Is there not enough? Is there too much? Where do I have to move it? Now, we give respect to both the channels as well as the points, because sometimes we want to work on the whole channel and sometimes we want a specific function that's in the acupuncture point. It's a little weird when somebody comes and goes, I have back pain. Which point is that? No, that's not how it works.
Right.
Like, your back pain is unique to you, and we look at you as a whole being rather than it hurts here. Here's where you put the needle. Mm-hmm. Now, when we look at this from a Western standpoint, and all this research goes back to the 90s and keeps coming out more and more every day, we see these huge overarching effects, right? If we're looking at point specificity, we can needle a point that's indicated for low back pain, say in the foot or in the leg, and the area that's associated with the back in the brain lights up. It's crazy. Now, after about 10 or 15 minutes, and I know we're going to touch on mental health soon, and this is going to be a good segue into that, we enter the rest and digest mode, your autonomic nervous system's parasympathetic nervous system response. Mm-hmm. We get you out of the fight or flight, that part of the brain called the amygdala that wants every stick on the ground to look like a snake to keep us alive, mm-hmm. gets really active when you're kind of at the top of the food chain and life is kind of safe. Yeah. So we get, you know, we used to call it paper tigers back in the day. Oh my God, my boss is going to kill me if I don't get this done. Now, are they going to kill you? Probably not. Could you get fired? Maybe. But, you know, there's a lot of steps before something really bad's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But our brain does not like that. So it'll rev us into this fight or flight mode most of the time. Now, we heal in rest and digest.
That's right.
So this overarching effect, we put those needles in, and after about 10 or 15 minutes, and it's really cool when you do it in a group community setting, because you watch the whole room, you know, they're chatty, and then one person goes, and then they're all quiet.
Yep.
And the cool thing is that we can double and triple up on that. So systems like mine will do two or three stages of needles to maximize that. Now, pairing that with our differential diagnosis, the conversation we've had, you know, when you came in and we're asking everything about bowel movements and, you know, best time of day and what hurts and what colors your tongue. Well, I do a Japanese style. Most of them were blind, so we don't look at the tongue as much. Palpating areas of the body to kind of give us a clue to what's going on with you as a whole person. And I'll say this once again from quantum physics, the physical body is just really compressed energy. Yes. So, you know, your spirit, your emotions, your psyche, your physical body is all one thing. It's not a ghost in the machine. Sorry, Descartes. I know that phrase was termed much after him, but it was a Descartesian concept. But with that, being able to almost use the body as the physical place where we hold the needles while we're getting the treatment is really what we're trying to do there. And what happens is after that 10 or 15 minutes, you drop into this zone, you get increased vasodilation. So all the blood vessels open up. So you're circulating more blood through the tissue that when you're tense, doesn't get the same blood flow. So now we're bringing flushing out the old tissue with metabolic waste in it or inflammation markers like cytokines, and then bringing fresh blood with oxygen nutrients. We see brainwave activity looks like deep meditation. So you're getting alpha theta brainwave switching. You might get deep sleep delta brainwaves maxing out. And all of this, you can be having a conversation with me when I'm treating you and you're in that brainwave state.
Thank you for saying that. I have had a mystery for years. So I've done acupuncture off and on in my adult life. The second acupuncturist I had had a community acupuncture spot in Silver Spring until the rent just got too high. It just was ridiculous. But I would go then. It was community acupuncture. So there was like 9 or 10 chairs set up. We all definitely experienced that where he would come through, pin everybody, and all of us would be like out at some point. But one of the things I experienced, and you reminded me when you said meditative state, during that time, I was going through my certification, my training in Tantra yoga. So I was doing a lot of meditating. I would go to acupuncture and literally feel the chakras spin. It was amazing.
I'll say this too. I trained very heavily in Tai Chi, Qigong, and my training brothers and sisters would come in and get treated. And my yoga instructor patients, all of them feel more. They have more physical energy, prana sensations than everybody else. But I will tell you, the long-term patients, and I've been in Baltimore for, God, almost 20 years now. I have some patients that have been with me for longer than 15 years. And I put the needles in and they go, okay, I feel that here. I feel that here. I feel one of them describes it as pinging. And sure enough, she'll be like describing the channel as it looks on the chart on the wall.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting when you're in that zone, when you're tuned to that, how much you can actually feel. And if we think of a time before the iPhone, when we were sitting around and meditating and these scholars were studying the human body, they were also going inward.
Yes.
And able to kind of go, oh, I feel that here. I feel that there. And map that out slowly over time. We even know the channels and the points. The channels came first and there was only 9. And then we got up to 12. And then we found some extraordinary ones. And then we started putting points on them. I might have that order out a little bit out, but the points came last. And it was an evolution based on observation of the practitioner, observation of the patient, and the people that were actually cultivating, whether they were doing some Taoist alchemy or Qigong or some form of yoga. I mean, these movements are different. They're called different things. But at the end of the day, that's what we're doing. We all have the same energy.
Absolutely. When I went through my yin yoga certification it all included meridian lines and points along them and so forth. So, wow, thank you. So that just cleared up a question for me that I've had now for almost 9 years.
Yeah, I mean,
how was I feeling that?
We also see a huge influx or normalization, I should say, of neurotransmitters. So your serotonin and dopamine levels. Yeah, we'll get into that. Yep. You got it.
There we go. That'll be it. So we're about to take a break and we're going to then talk about these neurotransmitters and how acupuncture affects them and then how mental health can improve with a consistent, I want to say practice of acupuncture. So come on back after the break.
Misalignment within your sales team or with a client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back. Today we're talking about acupuncture, and I just learned a new thing, which I'm so grateful for. And so in this segment, let's talk a little bit about the neurotransmitters that acupuncture affects, and how it then also affects, because of that, stress, anxiety, depression, insomnia. And for me, I started using acupuncture for an autoimmune issue.
Yeah.
Which luckily, at this age and stage in my life, I no longer have symptoms of.
Wow, that's amazing.
You know, but it was the combination of yoga, acupuncture, mindfulness practices, like incorporating all these things that I talk about in this show. And acupuncture was definitely a part of that.
You know, I think there's so many strengths in different cultures, and in the East, lifestyle medicine it seems to have really reigned supreme. You know, we're always talking about, you know, what we need to do to de-stress or self-care or, oh, this is my wellness day. And that's nice, but our whole lifestyle should be set up like that. And you know, that's part of the reason we're getting so many autoimmune things, right? We're constantly bombarded. And just doing something every day that tells us, no, we're here, pulls us back down, puts us back in our body, puts us back on the planet. However you want to word that, is critical, is one of those many days that, like, I don't, you might not need it every day.
Right.
It should be and I think we have all these crazy success stories of those, like, last ditch effort. Oh my God, if you can't fix me. But in its best case, use case is really using it as preventative, using it as a lifestyle thing. Come see us once a month if you're feeling pretty good. Come see us more frequently if you're not. Don't wait for, you know, your back to go out. But when we're talking, it's back to those neurotransmitters. Serotonin and dopamine have to be in this nice little balance. Two sides of the same coin, if you will. I'm oversimplifying here. Too much of one, you get anxiety. Too much of the other, you get depression. Not enough of either, the same thing can happen. We call this, you know, in Chinese medicine, we call this true excess or deficient excess, which is not enough of the other one to cool off the other. So this is a yin-yang imbalance, yin-yang imbalance. Oh, God, I'm so sorry, guys. Some other cool stuff that happens. We know that during acupuncture, we produce more oxytocin. Oxytocin is a bonding hormone. You bond with other people better. No, you're not going to fall in love with them. This is not at the level of, you know, a mother and her baby. Right. But it might make you a little nicer person. Now, my favorite one, Siobhan, my favorite neurotransmitter to talk about in this, because we do also talk about endorphins, which are look like endogenous morphine, which is morphine that occurs inside the body. It's a great pain reliever. But my favorite one, we did not know about the entire endocannabinoid system until 1991.
Is that not crazy?
Isn't that crazy? We thought we knew it all. And if you want to get even weirder, we can talk about the interstitium, a new organ. But let's get back to the endocannabinoid system. Mm-hmm. The endocannabinoid system is just what it sounds. Endo, internal, cannabinoid, compounds coming from cannabis.
Yep.
And the endocannabinoid system probably existed in our bodies prior to us actually consuming cannabis, but seems kind of like an intelligent design. So there's a few neurotransmitters that fall into this endocannabinoid system, but my favorite one, and Siobhan, with all your yoga thing, you know this word, anandamide. So ananda is Sanskrit for the word bliss. And what happens during an extra treatment or sex or eating chocolate or exercises is not endorphins, it's also anandamide at the bliss compound. So when you see a patient walking out of the acupuncture clinic and they're kind of floaty, kind of maybe a little out of it, maybe they take a little bit longer to get dressed and get off your table and you're in a rush because you got the next damn appointment coming in. But they are being bathed in all of these neurotransmitters, including ones that make you feel a little stoned.
And that explains a lot about my acupuncture.
Not a bad thing at all. It's absolutely part and parcel of the medicine. It doesn't matter if you're there for arthritis or you're there for, IBS or Lyme disease or anxiety. That comes along for the ride, and it's a beautiful thing. All of these quote unquote side effects in acupuncture and Chinese medicine, in a lot of cases, are like part of the ride. They're that entourage effect that we talk about in botanical medicine. Mm-hmm. And it is amazing. And God, I did this interview where I kept going, how the hell did they know this? How the hell did they? Because it's so amazing to me that before we had a microscope, and maybe we did, and maybe Graham Hitchcock is onto something, and there were other advanced civilizations before the Ice Age. Right. But that's another show.
My favorite show.
Matt turned me on to that. And I know next thing I know, I'm binge watching it. My wife's like, "You're watching this again?" And I'm like, "They're in white plains now. They're not in." they're not in the Mayan temples anymore. but it is so interesting that we had figured this out before having names for these reactions, having names for these receptor sites in our brain and along our nervous system. And acupuncture really lights up all of these systems. So when we say it's a whole body medicine, or when people go, "Oh, I can't treat all of that." Well, it can, by aiming from a 50,000 foot view. It's not looking like, right, if I'm going to a oncologist. I want them to find that one cell that's out. Take that one out. Like, I don't want the blanket treatment. I don't radiation, massive chemotherapy. And oncology is moving in that direction. I think that's great. Yeah. But how many people out there have been to the doctor and go, well, this is going on. And then they leave and they get the medicine and that doesn't go away. Well, because the problem is upstream, right? It's a more holistic thing. You know, you go to the podiatrist, he wants to look at your foot, but what happens if it's happening in the knee or the hip, right? A savvy one will refer you out, but you know, a podiatrist will go, I don't know, take these orthotics, put them in your shoes. Let me know how it goes. Right. You know, and it's not their fault. It's their training. Now on the same token, if you come to me and I see something that's out of my wheelhouse, I want to refer you to the specialist too. Like, no, that growth looks bad. Call this dermatologist now. You know, so but in a lot of cases, this will take care of a lot of problems before they set up and become massive issues.
There we go. There we go. I always felt a little bit floaty after those those acupuncturist sessions. And I do have, and I have referred clients to acupuncture, especially if they are dealing with, I've had a client who had postpartum who started acupuncture, clients who lived with depression going to acupuncture, and PTSD who go to acupuncture. And it's been marvelous for them to be able to pair therapy with acupuncture. It's been wonderful. What are the, when you, I think you froze. All right. Well, when we come back from the next break, hopefully Tom will have unfrozen and then we will be able to talk about the applications of acupuncture for daily life. Like, how do you incorporate this into day-to-day well-being?
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Ready to serve up success with a splash? Hi, I'm Bruce Kramer, a.k.a. the Corporate Cockroach.
I'm the Renaissance Woman, Angie Snowball.
And I'm your strategy doctor, Dr. Navtej Dasanjh, inviting you to serving up success with a splash.
Join us as we shake things up with real talk and real strategies centered around awareness, action, and accountability.
And yes, there really is a cocktail involved. Please join us and sip your way to success.
Serving up success with a splash, where wisdom meets happy hours. Cheers!
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So we are back and we are having interesting weather here in Maryland. All of those of you who are New Yorkers, we are having interesting weather here. So that's why our internet is a little shaky today. So with our last segment, Tom, the question comes to mind for me, if someone is new to this idea of acupuncture or maybe even curious about it. And I remember mentioning acupuncture and chiropractic care to a client, this is more than a decade ago. And she was like, totally appalled that I would even suggest this witch doctory was, I think, the term she used. So if someone is in that headspace, what are small steps that they can take to explore acupuncture?
So fortunately, after 25 years, and I've seen the field make massive strides in yeah. let's call it PR.
Absolutely. Because I remember when health insurances didn't even cover acupuncture.
No. Yeah. And it was hit or miss, and it was spotty. And here in Maryland, most policies do have some benefits. And honestly, Good Morning America just ran a piece a few days ago talking about acupuncture for low back pain in JAMA, a huge study. And, the doctor raved about it. And I think there's a shift happening in medicine, right? We know that the healthcare system is unsustainable. We know that we have so many health issues that are fixed long before you need the heart surgery, long before they cut your foot off from diabetes. Yep. And we need to change lifestyles. And I think doctors are hearing that. I think there's, a ton of research too. When acupuncture studies first started happening, it was literally, let's get this witchcraft taken care of, out of our hair once and for all. Well, 49,000 plus studies on PubMed now, peer-reviewed studies, Ooh. Are showing, hey, these guys know what they're talking about. Now, they might have used different words to describe it. Absolutely. So, Siobhan, I used to be called, all of the horrible things and a quack and that kind of stuff. And I wasn't even saying anything super controversial. And now, I'm talking to University of Maryland's integrative health med students, and it's like, well, we want to know what to do rather than, have them cut them open on our table or something like that. So there's a shift in the medical community, and we are kind of the darling. We're getting, I have a couple of not to slam PTs, but I have a couple of surgeons that refer to me rather than rehab.
Wonderful.
Post-surgical. With all of it, it seems to be that the opinion is changing. So I don't have to force it. If somebody's really that anti it and they're not open, I might show them some acupressure. I might say, let's do a meditation, right? Because we know that meditation will reduce pain. Yes. Let's do some Qigong. How about some stretching with breathing? We don't have to call it yoga. We don't have to call it Qigong. We don't have to make it sound any more foreign than it is to that person right there. We're going to meet That's them where right. they're at,
yep. Yep. That's what we do in mental health therapy.
if they're not open to it, how can I say it so you can hear it?
Yep.
I think we as Americans, we go to a foreign country, and if somebody doesn't understand us, we speak louder and slower.
Yes.
That is not,
I don't know why.
that is not how this works, right? We need to speak in a way that those patients understand us. And not put them down. How do you not know this? No.
Exactly.
Why? Because they don't have a degree in it. That's why they don't know it. Mm-hmm. So how do we take those steps to open this up? And look, I'm not trying to, if I could mainstream this, I'm going to use a term that they used back in the 90s, Siobhan, sell out. But I want this medicine to have the respect, and it's really the people's medicine. Yeah. And if we can put it into everybody's hands and meet them where they're at, I think we'll have amazing success. We'll have better outcomes for Americans. We'll be a healthier society and a healthier globe, It's overwhelming to think about, and it's pretty arrogant for me to even say, oh, I'm going to be the one that does it, but I want to be part of that movement. It's going to take a lot of people.
Yeah.
But it really, I think that's it. Take those baby steps, introduce small concepts. It was funny the other day, I've been reading about fasting. I've done intermittent fasting for years and years, right?
Yes.
And my mom came by to help us out and babysit my teenage daughters on a school night because we had to go to a concert. But she goes, oh, I don't eat now. I only have I have a 6-hour eating window. And I go, oh, you're doing an 18-6. I got you, Mom. And she's like, what? And I'm like, remember, I was fasting a lot years ago and now I still do it. And, you know, it's so like she caught up. Right. You know, it became a new concept to her, but there had to be repeated exposure and good experience with it. So I would say that just, you know, keep it in the forefront, approach it in a way that's a little bit manageable. You know, like don't eat the whole elephant at once.
Indeed. Indeed. It's baby steps. I like that. If you don't want to do the needle, start with acupressure, you know, starting with something and testing it out is the best way and going, oh, okay, that wasn't so bad. Maybe I'll do this next thing. Right. And I think people are intimidated by maybe what they've seen in media of a person at the table with all the pins their skin. And I will say, I'm going to be the first to say, I wondered about the pain of the pins too.
Yeah.
Unless I had like a very sore spot to begin with that was sore to the touch, I felt none of the pins go in or out.
So there's a couple of things there, right? TV media, they have to sensationalize things.
Absolutely.
Two, and this is literally a logistics thing. Mm-hmm. Years ago, I wrote an article for a magazine that's no longer around called Baltimore Dog Magazine, right? Huh. And it was about animal acupuncture, and I'm certified to treat animals here in Maryland. Nice. And they said, we found some stock photos. They're kind of horrible. Do you have a dog? Can you bring them down? So I brought my French bulldog Piglet down, and he was the star of the show. He loved it. You know, he's got his photos of him smiling, his tongue's out, his needles all up and down his back. They go, okay, great. I get home. The company calls me and they go, hey, we got a problem. I go, what's the matter? Did I leave a needle there? Yeah. You know, going through it. No, they're like, no. We can't see the needles in the photos. So they literally had to superimpose a line on the needle and then make the handles bright red so you could see them. So some of this, when they're doing media stuff, they literally have to either one, use bigger needles, so longer needles with thicker handles, use more needles just for dramatic effect, I guess. And that's not really how we do things.
No,
right? You'll see some practitioners that put a lot of needles in one area, and I go, that's the shotgun approach, you know, palpate, feel. But this is another great advancement in acupuncture. We've gotten at least 2 to 3 gauges smaller since I started practicing.
Wonderful.
The ability to refine the needles, make them smoother and thinner, and refine our techniques. You know, back in the day, the needles were pretty big, you know, pre-industrial revolution. So there's been advances.
Yeah.
Handmade needles naturally are going to be a little bit thicker.
Okay. Yeah. You know? I never had a problem with the needles.
They're no, great. And you shouldn't. Mm-mm.
Wonderful. All right. And so when you first bring in a patient and in less than 1 minute, can you say like what the order is that of things that will unfold for them?
So our first appointment is always longer. We do a very long intake. I have people answer a very large paper intake. Mm-hmm. It checks all the systems. We then don't want to pigeonhole anybody, but we want to see where these imbalances are.
Right.
Then we're going to do palpation. We're going to take your pulses. We have 12 positions on the wrist that we feel, one for each one of those 12 meridians on the body, feeling which one's stronger and weaker, and which we have some weird adjectives that we use. We'll do palpation along the acupuncture points. On the abdomen, we'll do inspection, looking at the color under the eyes, the tongue. And then we'll put together a treatment. And there's a million different treatment styles. That's definitely longer than a minute, but we'll perform the treatment, hopefully in a stage or two, maybe three, like I do. And then we'll incorporate some adjunct therapies, whether that's a little bit of body work from an Asian perspective, something like gua sha, cupping, moxibustion, maybe applying some topical herbal formulas. It really depends on what the patient needs. And one of the things that I'll say about this is it's a living, breathing medicine. So I want to look at that patient with fresh eyes every time they come in, and we're going to vary that treatment. So it's not the same thing every time. Some people do that. Yeah, it's becoming less and less popular because we want to meet the patient where they're at, getting back to that concept.
Yep. Wonderful. Thank you for that. That way people can kind of have ease of mind when they're thinking about scheduling their first appointment. Okay, I guess we're about out of time.
Yeah, that went quick.
It did. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for this topic. This is one of the ones near and dear to my heart, because acupuncture, and we'll have a later episode on chiropractic. Those are the two kinds of holistic practices that I think are really important to incorporate. And we just don't get to hear as much about them, and people still have misconceptions. Tom, I am so grateful for you joining me today.
Siobhan, I'll talk to you all day, every day. You just call and I'm more than happy to hop on.
Awesome. I'll bring you back for a future one then.
Whenever you want, you just let me know. I'll show up on time. I'll make sure the internet's, we'll check the weather and everything.
I know, right? Wonderful. If you found this episode helpful and informative, and there's something, a nugget that you can apply to your life, then please do so. If there's someone in your life that you feel like could benefit from this episode, please pass it on. And take a moment to like and subscribe on whichever platform you're watching this or hearing this on. It helps us to get the word out more about the Expansion Room. And I'm looking forward to seeing you all next week. Have a wonderful week.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.